How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned in the broadcast again this week. We left off last time in John chapter 13. And in verse number 18 is where we'll pick it up this time. The Lord Jesus Christ has just washed the disciples' feet, not to institute another ordinance of foot washing, but to leave an example of willingness of service to service of one another. It may be that our brothers and sisters in Christ might need their feet washed. Recently, a brother in Christ had some injury to his feet and needed those wounds tended to. That was the need that he had. And so I was blessed to be able to help him with that. He needed that. And so I needed to be willing to do that and follow the Lord's example in doing so. Maybe it won't be that they need their feet washed, but they need something else done. And something maybe it's something menial that they would need done, or what we would call menial work or labor, and they need that done. We should be willing to do so and be willing to serve one another. The Lord Jesus Christ came and in a sense served us with everything he had by winning our salvation, giving himself his life, a ransom, his soul, a ransom for our sins, the shedding of his blood, the giving of his body, the sacrifice of himself for us. He gave it all. For his people and for those that he has saved and will save, he has given it all for us. Who are we to hold anything back? May the Lord help us in that. And so he gives us that example to serve one another. He says in verse 17, if you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them, to serve one another. Verse 18, I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen. And that's interesting. The Lord Jesus Christ has chosen. He says as much himself, and he's going to deal with that here. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, the Lord Jesus Christ says, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. And so the Lord Jesus Christ here, once again, referring to Judas, and it seemingly that Judas is still in their midst. The Passover is past. The supper is past. The Lord's Supper has been instituted by the Lord. He's washed the disciples' feet, even that of Judas. And now he says, one that is eating with me is lifted up his heel against me, which is a fulfilling of the scripture. Verse 19, now I tell you before it come that when it has come to pass, ye may believe that I am he, or that I am. He is added by the translators to help us. Here he is, the I am. He knows the future before it takes place. He is very comfortable with what he came to do. He is not alarmed. He is not surprised. It's for this reason, as we saw in the previous chapter, that he came, is to give his life a ransom for his people. He said, I'm telling you that one's going to betray me from amongst you, that when it comes to pass, you might yet be more reinforced and believe that I am. Verse 20, verily, verily. And again, when we see those words, verily, verily, truly, truly, it's very, very important information. You cannot do without it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And so here, the Lord speaking of his coming commission, his coming directive to his church, and that he's going to send them into all the world to proclaim the gospel, to baptize believers, and to teach those believers, members of his church by virtue of baptism, to observe all the things that he's commanded. He says, if they receive you, who I send, they receive me. and they receive the Father that has sent me. Verse 21, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. So he very plainly indicates here that Judas is indeed at hand. He's been here through these things. None of these things have saved Judas. Judas has been baptized by John the Baptist, having been a false professor of the gospel, having been one that falsely proclaimed his faith in Christ. And none of these things, the Passover as a Jew, the observance of the Lord's Supper, the washing by the Lord Jesus Christ himself of his feet, none of these things have saved him, and he is at hand to betray the Lord. Then the disciples, verse 22, looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. They're looking about and they're considering. Another was one leaning on Jesus' bosom. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. And for us in our culture, in our day, we are kind of troubled by that. We in our culture like some distance between us and our friends. We are not close in that. We have that personal space. But in this culture, it was common. And there was nothing wrong with this. There's nothing evil or wicked about it. The world has made it to where they claim wickedness amongst the Lord and his disciples, and that is abomination and wickedness indeed. But it's not so. But they have a love. They're as the Lord's brethren. They're as the Lord's children. They're near one to another. And John is speaking of himself being there near, leaning on the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him. And remember that Jesus Christ is God. He is, as Isaiah declared, the everlasting Father. And so as a father loves his children and wants his children to be near to him, so it is with Jesus. Simon Peter, therefore, beckoning to the one that is near the Lord, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake, he beckons to John. He says, ask him who it is. The disciples are wondering, who is it? In other accounts, in the Gospels, it says, the disciples say, is it I? Is it me? How would it be if you and I were there? Would we say, oh, I know who it is. It's that one over there. Or would we introspect and say, Lord, is it me? Am I the one that will betray you? How is it with our humility? How is it with our meekness? Are we beyond and above being caught in such iniquity? No, we're not. Saved by the grace of the Lord, we're not above being caught. And a desperate thing as this is betraying the Lord. We're not above that. How would it be? Well, I've known and have experienced how it is that some cannot stand even the accusation when things kind of look like or add up that it might be that they would be involved in some wickedness. It just not being clear and not known cannot even stand the challenge of being asked, are you guilty of this? And giving a confirmation, no, I'm not. I'm sorry that it looks that I might be, but I'm not. But there's an offense in this, and that they could even be asked, how dare you ask me that I would be involved with such a thing? How dare you question me? But here the disciples, they said, Lord, is it me? Is it me? Am I going to betray you? And so Peter beckons to John and say, ask the Lord who it is. Verse 25, then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Who is the betrayer? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. So when I dip a sop and give it to that one, that'll be him. So that's what he tells John. And he tells John so, seemingly maybe privately. I don't know if this is out loud where all can hear, because we'll see here in these later verses, I think it makes it clear that it's not known unto all. So let's read. He said in verse 25, he then, that is John, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. So he dips it, He tells John, seemingly, dips it, and gives it to Judas. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. He's possessed of Satan. And then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. And so we see that Judas is the one, he is the betrayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, being a very near disciple, being an apostle, known always by the Lord. But here an example to us that even station and position in the church does not save the soul. That thou doest, do quickly. Get on with it, Judas, and do it quickly. Satan has possessed him. The Lord Jesus Christ, in a sense, has told Satan, go ahead and do it. Get your betrayal work on at hand. Now, no man, now here's where it seems that it was private between John and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, no man at the table knew for what intent he spake that unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. That he seemed to say aloud. But what he said to John, he seemed to have said secretly or quietly. That thou doest, do quickly. Now, no man, verse 28, at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, number one, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus has said unto him, number one, buy those things that we have need against the feast. That was option number one, is Judas is going to buy some more things. We're running low on bread, running low on meat, running low on drink, running low on those things that are here at hand. Judas, go and buy what we need, because Judas carried the money. Or that he should give something to the poor. And I find this interesting, that it was a practice of the Lord Jesus to tell their treasurer to take some money and give it to the poor. This is not the first occurrence of that, but the disciples had expectation that it could be now. Judas, go give something to the poor. There's a need over here. Go and meet that need with a certain amount of money at this certain thing. Judas, go buy this stuff for these folks and get it over there to them. Take care of that for us. And so they did not know. They did not hear what John heard in verse number 26 about when the Lord gives the sop, to whom he gives it, that'll be the one that'll betray him. John heard it, and maybe John conveyed it to Peter, but there was none other that understood it. Verse 28, now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. So that thou doest, do quickly. They did not understand what he meant. And we read in verse 29 those things that he supposed. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. And so here Judas is going to betray the Lord. The Lord, knowing that he's a devil from the beginning, having called him, he called him, but not unto salvation and not unto membership in his church. He did ordain him to be an apostle, but he's a false one. He's a liar and a betrayer from the beginning. The Lord, knowing that, has now released him to go and do the wickedness that he's going to do. How do you reconcile this? This is the mighty work and greatness of God. Aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus Christ did not ordain you and call you to be a Judas? I'm thankful that he didn't. And may the Lord help us that we see and hear the power of God in these things. Remember, God is the Creator, and we are the created. I see that our time is well past for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.